Welcome to the GIST edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the gastrointestinal stromal tumor community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent with Rare Disease Advisor. We're talking today with Sarah Rothschild, Executive Director at the Life Raft Group in Wayne, New Jersey. For the past 20 years, this nonprofit organization has advocated on behalf of patients with gastrointestinal stromal tumor, or GIST, as it's known. Sarah's been on the job since March, having taken over from the group's founder, Norman Scherzer. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's hear a little something about yourself and your involvement with the Life Raft Group.
Well, I've been with the Life Raft Group since 2005, and it's been a journey that I've enjoyed and embraced. I've watched this organization grow from a kitchen table organization in a basement in a rundown building to we upgraded a bit over the years. But our staff has grown, our community outreach has grown, and it's been wonderful to see all the fruits of our labor to see how we can outreach to the global community to provide support and services to help them through their rare disease diagnosis and treatment and support the families along the way.
Can we talk a bit about GIST itself and the disease prognosis, therapies, how you've seen progress made over the years?
Sure. Yeah. When I started at the Life Raft Group, only imatinib was approved. And then we've seen a number of different treatments approved over the years. But let me just start by saying that 3,000 to 5,000 people are diagnosed each year in the United States with GIST. And depending on the person's risk of how large the tumor is, their mitotic count, their mutation and otherwise, that really gives us a sense in terms of prognosis. And we have seen through all the breakthroughs in medicine, patients living longer. So we have a patient registry, and which is a natural history study where we follow patients over time. And we've seen that patients are living longer with GIST. And I think what also helps is that when patients reach out to an advocacy group like the Life Raft Group, we're arming them with information so that they're more empowered about their disease, seeing GIST specialists, and that I think is contributing to longevity with the disease.
What is the current life expectancy for a patient who has the disease?
Well, I mean, like I said, I think that it depends on a number of different factors, but we have seen patients living over 10 years with the disease. But it depends. Like if a patient goes in and they have a tumor rupture and they have a very aggressive form of the disease, it could be shorter. And sometimes those things that we can't help. But in terms of the life expectancy, I feel like we've seen people live many years. And I think that gives people hope, especially those who are newly diagnosed, coming to us, never hearing about the disease and not knowing what to expect. Because I think when you're diagnosed with cancer, this is loss of control. You don't know what's going to happen. Am I going to die? It's like one of the questions I think that pops in people's heads. And we share with them the stories of patients and connect them with patients who've been living with the disease for over 10 years. Mm-hmm. I think it definitely gives people hope that they can live a long life and make sure that they're on top of their health and their care.
In your background, you spent some time in the Middle East, and I understand you lived in Israel. Talk about what you did there and how you established relations with GIST patients there.
When I was in public health school, I did an internship with a professor in health policy. I was very interested in global health issues. That's always been of interest to me. So while I was there, I did a lot of research on the healthcare system there, and I also was helping him to pull up literature to help him with articles that can help with supporting some policy efforts that were in the country. And I think that really helped shape my passion for when I did end up working at the Life Raft Group. about just understanding health systems and culture and access issues. And I felt like that really arms me with the compassion and just understanding the system in order to help advocate for our patients, both individually and as a group.
It just normally affects people past 60 years old, but some forms of just the SDH deficit just does affect younger people. Can you talk about that?
Well, you've hit on a passion of mine because I really do care about the kids. So adolescent young adults are more likely to be diagnosed with SDH deficient GIST, which is a very rare subtype of GIST. But what's been so wonderful over the years is to see how much we've learned through science about understanding the disease. Like I would say maybe 14 years ago, we were at the LifeRaft group and these young patients or these mothers and families were coming to us being like, our children have this disease and, you know, please help us understand it more. And we just didn't know. We didn't know back then it was called SDH deficient GIST. So the LifeRaft group was actually really instrumental in doing something about that. We met with Dr. Lee Hellman, who was at the time the head of the pediatric oncology branch at the NCI. We saw him at a medical conference. We said, you know what? We've got to do something for these kids. They keep coming to us. They're in a lot of pain. They're struggling.
Most of them are young women, right? Teenage girls, young women?
It does affect more females, but there are people who get diagnosed at later stages of life. Mm-hmm. And there are males who get diagnosed, but it's predominantly female.
Yeah.
So when we met with him, what inspired from that conversation was the development of a clinic at the NIH to study this disease more. And so I might be wrong about the date, but it might have been around 2008 when the first clinic got started. And they used to meet twice a year. And then that got cut down to once a year. The LifeRaft group helped supplement with virtual tumor boards through that loss of that clinic being trimmed down to once a year. And because of that clinic, we learned about all the different SDH subtypes. Since then, there's been clinical trials that have been initiated for that subtype. No official approvals yet, but I think it's incredible that we've been able to understand more of a larger pool of patients because of this clinic, studying the disease, studying its nature, and being able to also support the families along the way. And that clinic happened to be an inspiration for other rare disease clinics. And I'm sure you've heard of the Cancer Moonshot. Well, the Cancer Moonshot started funding other disease clinics because of the success of the GIST clinic.
Wonderful. Just a question. How big is LifeRaft Group in terms of your size, numbers of members, budget? Is there some way to quantify this organization?
Based on like our registry numbers, we're at 2,500 patients that we track every year over time. We, our members expand even beyond those who actually are officially registered in the registry. We have thousands of patients that reach us from all around the world. And it's not just a US based. I mean, we are physically based in the United States, but we are open to global membership. We also have consortiums of doctors that interact with us, and we establish criteria for centers of excellence and specialists. So, and we interact with them, as you could say, as partners in the process of helping through the continuum of care for GIST patients.
And given that you are the first director of the organization since the founder established it 20 years ago, do you have any specific plans to take LifeRaft Group in a new direction? What can we expect from you?
Well, Norman has done a fantastic job with his vision. He's been a wonderful mentor. And it's been a real pleasure to watch it grow over the years. In terms of my vision, I think what's really important is personalized engagement. I've seen patients really suffer through a diagnosis and hopping from treatment to treatment and hospitalizations. And I think it's really important that personalized touch does not get lost, because I feel like that's how we started. We started as like a group of patients that were just in the LifeRaft together. So as we've grown into thousands of patients in our membership, I think we still do a really good job about being in touch with how patients are doing and supporting them along the way. My other vision is I really want to help elevate the scientific direction of the Life Raft group. We used to fund and support a research team. We continue to support researchers along the way. We do our own research with our patient registry and our tissue bank. I would like to continue to like sort of marry the worlds of our internal research and external research and see how we can continue to increase that collaboration. And what's incredible, in the 6 months that I've been in this position, there's been a number of investigators and clinicians who've reached out to us, even including the NIH, who've come to partner with us and collaborate. And that's what I want to continue to see is our future. A lot of the work that I was doing for so many years with the Life Raft group was all about being in a collaborative environment. I think that that's my strength. And I think people have known that about me, and I hope to carry that on in terms of the next phase of the Life Raft group.
And on that subject, I wanted to ask you about clinical trials. You briefly touched on the importance of clinical trials to further research. How heavily is Life Raft group involved in trials, and what trials are underway now?
You know, you never know with a rare disease, there could be a lot of trial options, but it's just incredible to see how science has evolved and how industry has taken an interest in our little rare disease. So we've seen a number of different approvals, and my colleague in the past, Pete Knox, has talked about that. But at the moment, we do have a number of trials. Some of them are investigator-sponsored and others are not. I would say some of the main ones that are currently around are sponsored by the companies Cogent Biosciences, Theseus, and IDRx.
And are you hopeful that they may improve treatment of GIST patients, particularly with regard to side effects, which we understand can be very, very nasty?
I think we're still at the early stages to know about how the adverse event profile is, the toxicity profile is of these drugs in trial. But I think it's exciting because some of them are across the board in terms of different lines of therapy they're exploring. They're also looking at a pan tumor, like looking across different mutational profiles in terms of targets. I think they're very creative in terms of how the trials were designed. So I think there is a lot of hope that these trials have come about because there are patients who develop secondary mutations as their disease progresses. And this is all for different lines of therapy. So this is not like a first line type of treatment against the imatinib. But I think it gives patients hope that there's other options out there for them to consider in their treatment journey.
Wonderful. Sarah, thank you very much for talking with us. This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.